Merry Christmas to you, and grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. You think the creation is beautiful now, beautiful morning like this? Just wait till these words of our God are fulfilled. And that is that God has made known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as the plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. The Word of God. Please be seated. This past Christmas Eve, there was an interesting article that was published in the Toledo Blade. If you get the Blade, I wonder if you caught this article. The headline was this: Museum to Return Art Stolen in World War II. The Toledo Art Museum is going to surrender an 18th century dinnerware centerpiece that it's had in its possession since 1956. It's a white porcelain sweet meat stand, is what it's called, in the form of a mermaid holding up this shell above her head. And apparently this centerpiece was a part of a 2,000-piece dinner set that was commissioned back in 1737 in Saxony, Germany, by Count Heinrich von Briel. And now this one piece of this dinnerware set is valued at over $1 million. Imagine that, a meat platter for $1 million. Imagine a dinner set of over 2,000 pieces. Yeah, they had some dinners in those days. I thought our Christmas dinner was big. The rightful owner of this piece, it turns out, is the Dresden Art Museum. In 1920, the von Briel family gave this mermaid meat stand to the museum, to the Dresden Art Museum, on permanent loan. Then apparently the director of that museum took that piece away and hid it away during World War II to protect it. And then when the war was over, discovered that it was missing. Apparently somebody had stolen the piece. Eventually, this piece made its way into legitimate art markets, where the Toledo Art Museum picked it up for about $10,000. But now that this piece has been proven to belong to the Dresden Art Museum, Toledo's museum director, Brian Kennedy, said this: the right thing to do now is to return it to its rightful owner. And I thought, wow. That's Christmas. And here this article appeared on Christmas Eve. The right thing to do now is to return it to its rightful owner. Essentially, that's what Christmas is about. As we just read, that in the fullness of time, all things in heaven and things on earth will be united in Christ. Or as Paul said it to the Colossians, all things are to be reconciled back to God, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. The thought is the same. God's plan in Christ, from the cradle to the cross to the open tomb, His plan in Christ is that when time has been filled up to its full measure, all things are going to be restored to their rightful owner. All of the creation restored to the Creator. But for that to happen, there first of all has to be a recreation. God is holy, and He will not possess a world such as we live in that is fallen and broken and sinful. There needs to be a recreation that takes place. And you might have assumed by the sermon title today that I was going to talk about escaping from our northern climates here in the at Christmas time to get in a little recreation somewhere, maybe as close as, you know, the water park at the Kalahari Resort, or better off to go to south to Florida and maybe get in some golf, although I understand this year was kind of cold down there. So the joke's on those people who travel there. Or maybe even better yet, to get out to Hawaii and to take in some rays of the sun on a tropical beach and to get a tan at Christmas time, like some people we know. We are celebrating an anniversary, by the way. I'm talking about recreation, not recreation. recreation, restoring the creation to the Creator, not in its current broken form, but in mint condition. It's the very stuff that we've been talking about in our Sunday Bible studies. It's so exciting to me to think about these things. What God really set out to do when He gave us His Christmas gift of His only begotten Son. See, when I think about the great sweep of history, how it all began and how it's all going to end, I think about a trip that we once made up to northern Michigan to the Sioux Locks at Sault Ste. Marie. Because Lake Superior is 21 feet higher than the other Great Lakes, locks are required to get ships on and off of that lake. And it is fascinating to watch these massive 1,000-foot vessels, you know, 3 football fields long, freighters carrying out 70,000 tons of freight, to watch those big ships falling and rising with the water levels in the locks. And I thought, you know, in a similar kind of way, the creation around us falls and rises with us, with us. You see, first of all, it fell with us, didn't it? When Adam sinned, it wasn't just Adam that was cursed, but the entire earth was cursed on account of his sin. That's what God said in the curse in Genesis 3. He said, "Cursed is the ground because of you." And now thorns infest the ground. Farmers know that pretty well. To say nothing of thorns of a different kind that infest every aspect of our lives. We have thorns in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our lives and relationships. Thorns in our homes and in our bodies and in our health. You've felt those thorns, haven't you? Our fall into sin also brought down the creation. But the good news is that when God lifts us up out of the pit and saves us, to use the language of the psalmist, the creation is lifted up right along with us. Paul said to the Romans, it's so exciting to think about, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The glory that awaits us in the resurrection is also a glory that the rest of the creation will experience. So it's not just we who will be a new creation in Christ, and who are, but Christ says in Revelation, "Behold, I am making all things new." All things. Which is why one Christian author suggested that Christmas should be celebrated as a festival of recreation. It began with the gift of a Savior in the manger. That was the beginning of the redemption phase of the recreation process. Paul says that Christ redeemed us from the curse by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree." But now that that phase has been completed, the Son of God gave His life on the cross for our forgiveness and rose again. Now that that's completed, the Savior is also the end game of the creation. For all things will come together under Christ and be recreated. They will be restored to their rightful owner, to the Father, in as good as new condition. You see, in the scope of God's great saving plan, we are, of course, the primary objects of His love. We are the ones that He created in His own image, to be in a very special, one-of-a-kind fellowship with Him. And more than anything else, the Creator wants us back as His treasured possessions. And so He gave us Christmas. He gave us His Son, by whose innocent suffering and death we are forgiven. We are back in fellowship with God, God and sinner reconciled. And in the resurrection of the flesh, we shall be like our Savior, glorified in the body, recreated, restored to God again. But it's not just us who are being saved. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. The world, the cosmos, the entire created order. All of creation waits with us for this moment of recreation. And that's why Christmas is a celebration of recreation. All of creation celebrates Christmas with us, which is why we just sang in that hymn, Joy to the World, these words. Both heaven and nature sing. Heaven sings because it is gaining citizens through faith in Christ and redemption. And nature sings because it is being restored in Christ to its pristine condition. And then we sang that the fields and the floods and the rocks and hills and plains and all of nature repeat that sounding joy. Creation is being liberated from its bondage to decay. And so it echoes our joy in Christ. And the day is coming when sins and sorrows will no longer grow and thorns will no longer infest the ground or our lives. A day when His blessings will flow as far as the curse is now found. This is our Christmas hope. It is our destiny. If life in this fallen world, in this fallen creation, has been hard on you, and I know it's harder on some than it is on others, but hardships are only intended to draw our yearnings heavenward as we await this recreation. But if life in this fallen creation has been hard on you, if you feel like a misplaced museum piece far from the home where you know you should be and where you want to be and where you yearn to be, take heart. Christmas is for you. It is a festival of recreation, begun at the manger, sealed at the cross in the blood of Christ, and culminating when all things are new again. Our bodies, our relationships, the creation itself, in mint condition, restored to the Creator. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. In Jesus Christ, Merry Christmas to you. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.